From NPR News in Washington, I'm Giles Snyder. In New York, same-sex marriage is now legal. Cheers broke out at the state capitol last night when Lieutenant Governor Robert Duffy announced the results of a vote on final passage in the state Senate.
Ayes 33, nays 29.
Celebrations also broke out at a bar in Manhattan that's acknowledged as the birthplace of the gay rights movement. A huge street party erupted outside the Stonewall Inn, where gay activists and police clashed back in 1969. In Huntington, New York, people greeted the news with a mix of jubilation and quiet reserve, as Charles Lane reports from member station WSHU.
Bar hopping on Huntington's main street. Luis Carranza summed it up this way.
Yes!
You seem excited. Why?
I'm not totally gay, but I'm totally happy that it's finally happened for equal rights for marriage and everything to happen like that.
This part of Huntington has been politically friendly to gay advocates, but on the more working class side of town, reaction was more muted. Marvin Ramirez thinks his family might have a difficult time understanding the vote.
Well, when I was younger, I used to go to church, so, you know, about man and woman. It's normal, but nowadays, you know, I guess same-sex is normal, too.
The same-sex marriage bill only came up for a vote after lawmakers added language that protected religious organizations from lawsuits for not recognizing gay marriages. For NPR News, I'm Charles Lane.
President Obama says he remains committed to working with Congress to find a solution to the government's debt problem. He's due to meet next week with Senate leaders to restart negotiations that collapsed Thursday. But he says the nation can't simply cut its way to prosperity.
We need to do what's necessary to grow our economy, create good middle-class jobs, and make it possible for all Americans to pursue their dreams.
Mr. Obama recorded his weekly address in Pittsburgh, where he unveiled a plan to boost high-tech manufacturing. In the Republican address, North Carolina Congresswoman Renee Elmers said the way to boost business is to reduce regulations and expand domestic energy production. Since the protests that have rocked the Arab world hit Libya, the country's oil production has ground to a near halt. But as Larry Miller reports from London, British officials say that could change quickly if Colonel Gaddafi falls.
The British Foreign Office says the oil infrastructure in rebel-held East Libya has not been badly damaged, and regular exports could start again a month after the end of the conflict. Libya had been supplying 2% of the world's oil before the uprising. Rebels sold their first tanker of crude oil to a U.S. refiner in April, but since then there's been little production due to security concerns. Meanwhile, the International Energy Agency says the five-month loss of Libyan oil output represents a greater disruption to global oil supply than Hurricane Katrina. For NPR News, I'm Larry Miller in London.
And you're listening to NPR News. In Minot, North Dakota,
204 passengers and 14
people are using airboats or simply wading through floodwater to get around. Officials fear more rain in the forecast could worsen already record-setting flooding along the rising Souris River. Officials in Arizona say they nearly have one of the state's three major wildfires under control, but that's mostly because the Wallow Fire, the state's largest ever, has already burned through an entire forest. Information Officer Kelly Wood toured the fire's perimeter yesterday.
I saw areas that were not even touched by flames. They did burnout operations underneath the canopies, and I saw places where it looked like a nuclear war zone.
An Australian attorney has filed a new lawsuit against the makers of the drug thalidomide. As Stuart Cohen reports from Sydney, the lawsuit could open the door to a fresh round of class action lawsuits around the world.
The lawsuit was filed on behalf of a 49-year-old woman in the Australian state of Victoria who was born with severe birth defects after her mother took thalidomide to treat morning sickness during the pregnancy. The drug caused tens of thousands of birth defects in the late 50s and early 60s in what's been called the world's worst medical disaster. Lawyer Peter Gordon says his client's injuries were never recognized as being caused by thalidomide.
There is, in fact, a significant number of people who have lived their entire lives with significant disabilities, but never with the psychological satisfaction of an explanation for them or proper compensation for them.
A success would set the stage for countless more lawsuits against the German maker of the drug for previously unrecognized victims of thalidomide. For NPR News, I'm Stuart Cohen in Sydney.
And I'm Giles Snyder in Washington.